The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, I want to welcome all of our audience that's joining us today. Whether you're joining us from Facebook Live, or you're watching from Rumble, or you're watching from YouTube, or you're coming in from the app. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know. If you have a comment section on the platform in which you're watching us, let us know in the comment section below that this is your first time joining us and where you guys are joining us from. And I see a lot of you coming on here live and saying good morning. Again, good morning to you guys. We've got an interesting topic today. What is God's wrath, and will the church go through it? I'll ask this question again. This is going to be a teaching today to close out this week of podcasting. What is God's wrath, and will the church endure it? So let's get started on this thing. Both Old and New Testaments of the Bible are filled with words that are translated as wrath. Also, you'll discover that frequently translated is the word anger, and these kind of coincide together. The most general and easy to understand comprehension of what this word means is that it, listen to this, this is important, that it expresses God's response to human disobedience. That's very important as we build this teaching as we go on. Examples of God's wrath being poured out are, let's go through some of these. And again, there's going to be more than what I'm showing you today, but I'm going to give you I believe what is the greatest highlights of this. And we see these in the Old Testament. Of course, we can start this with the flood of Noah. We see that when you read the account of the flood of Noah, you'll discover that God was grieved. And the Bible even uses a term called repented. He repented that he had made man, and he was going to destroy the earth. And it wasn't just because of the corruption and the sin of man, but it was also, if you read your Bible, it was also because of what took place in Genesis chapter 6, which was the mingling of the seed of the angels that had fallen from heaven. They went into the daughters of men, and they created a race of demigods that were half angelic and half flesh, and they were the giants, or the Nephilim. And they and these giants corrupted the whole earth. They were wicked, and they were causing destruction and all that they did. And this was grieving the heart of God. And he raised up a righteous family of Noah, and he told Noah that I am going to destroy the earth and everything that has the breath of life in its nostrils. I will spare you. I will keep you, and I will repopulate the earth through your seed. Thus, Noah was spared, and God's wrath was poured out upon the earth. Then we have the destruction, Genesis 19, of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see here, again, there was Lot. The Bible said he was a righteous man that was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked day by day. Lot and his family was told by the angels of the Lord that was sent there from God to get out of the city and to escape, because God's wrath was going to be poured out upon the cities of the plains. And we all know the story. Lot and those that he could get was his wife, his two daughters. They attempted to get out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and flee to a place called Zoar. We know that Lot's wife did not make it out. She turned back, looked back, and was turned into a pillar of salt. And there's great speculation on what actually happened. Some say it was a volcanic eruption there by the Dead Sea. Some say it was a meteor, a type of explosion, like a microburst of explosion from a meteor going through the sky. Kind of like what we saw in Russia, what back in 2000, I want to say it was 15 or something like that, where in Russia that meteor went over the sky and it burst all those windows and it caused, it actually injured people and so on and so forth. Some scholars believe that that's what happened, but nevertheless, don't miss the point. We could argue back and forth of what actual disaster took place. But the point is the cities of the plains was destroyed by God's wrath. Then we see, and these obviously were moving around here in different directions. We have the plagues of Egypt. The children of Israel were spared by Moses, who was raised up as their leader, who led them out of captivity of Egypt into the wilderness. Eventually, it's a lot of them didn't make it, but a generation made it into the promised land. But watch this. There was plagues that was sent from God as the wrath of God that came upon Egypt. Then we have what is coming. Now I'm going to shift gears, go to the New Testament. We're under the New Covenant, New Testament. Let's talk. These are all past tense. Let's talk about present tense and future tense. In this very present hour, speaking of in this present hour, or what we are here today, we're talking about this right now. We are witnessing what I call selective judgments. And you're going to see that from time to time. God is still bringing judgment. I know there's a whole group of individuals. There's interpretations. There's different theologies. And some even go as far as to teach that God no longer brings judgment in the earth. And I absolutely do not believe that. And I believe there is still selective judgments. However, the next major timeline of God's wrath will be during the final 42 months or 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is when the Antichrist will be ruling. He will be reigning in power. He will be setting up his final empire, his system of buying and selling, working alongside the false prophet, and he will take control of the world after 10 kingdoms align with him. In the final 42 months of the tribulation, or the final 3.5 years of the tribulation, this is where we see the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. The bowl judgments, the vial judgments, the seals are broken. You've got an asteroid coming. You've got wormwood coming. You've got boils breaking out. You've got locusts coming out of pits and that are coming upon men. The sun is scorching men. You've got the wealthy or the rich are running into caves and trying to hide themselves from the wrath of God. This is coming. This has not happened. And why am I saying this has not happened? Because you've got a whole group out there called preterists that teach preterism. And it's a doctrine that teaches that all of these events that I'm speaking of here are all past tense, and they all happened in 70 AD. That's where they get Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and they tell you all those events transpired in 70 AD, and they're all past tense events. And again, that is a heretical doctrine. It's dangerous. It's divisive. And honestly, I believe it sets people up for a very rude awakening if you actually believe that God's, and they actually teach that the book of Revelation is not literal, and it's not to be taken literal in interpretation, but it's allegorical and it's symbolic. This is some information to let you know, so that when you see some of these comments come on here and people saying certain things, you understand the context and the nature in which they are derived from. Okay, let's read this. So we're still in the question, what is the wrath of God? We see this really clearly in the New Testament. Paul does a wonderful job in the book of Romans chapter 1 of giving identity to the wrath of God. That's Romans 1, 18 through 32. We'll get it right, I promise you. Romans 1, 18. Here it is. He starts it out with it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So he tells you right off the bat that it is God himself who will be responsible for bringing wrath, because it's revealed from where? Heaven. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now listen to this. Against, so the wrath of God is against what? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is very important, guys. When we get to the second part of this, will the church endure the wrath of God? Again, we want to make this clear. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who are they? They are not the righteous. They are the wicked, the ungodly. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Listen to this. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And it's still happening today. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, and men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. By the way, in some parts of the world, by me just reading that scripture right there, I could face fines and imprisonment. We talked about that on a segment we did. And even as they, listen to this, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Hello. Kind of seeing that a lot lately, right? Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Listen to verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, now we're talking about judgment, not just that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, and I'm going to pull up, I'm going to pull up some more scriptures. Ready? Romans, we're going all over the place. We're going to Nahum, Romans 1, Romans 2. Romans chapter 2, guys, offers a good perspective on just what God's wrath is. In fact, I know this is down here at the bottom of this, but I want to read this first, and then we'll get up to the top. Romans 2, 3 through 9. Ready? And think thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness in forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us unto repentance. Verse 5, but and I've got some stuff here underlined that I want to touch on. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath. Now, what treasures up wrath? The hardness and stubbornness of your heart. Notice he says here that you're treasuring up wrath against, listen to this, it's right here on your screen, the day of wrath. The day of wrath. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, listen what it says will be the reward on the day of wrath, the day of the great white throne judgment. Listen what it says, indignation and wrath. Verse 9 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil. Somebody say that does evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Guys, this is important. This is something we can't just skip over here. We got to dissect this. We got to chew on this. Notice here that his wrath appears to be synonymous with his righteous judgment. God's wrath is not simply his angry retribution against those who have offended him, but rather it is his righteous judgment against those who do evil. God is righteous, and he will judge us according to his righteous standards. God's wrath is against sinners. It's against the ungodly. It is against the unrighteous. It is against the abominable. It's against all those things that Paul touched on in Romans chapter 1 and the latter part of Romans chapter 1. None of those things should identify or be identified or linked to us as believers. Oh, I'm going to show all of you guys. I'm going to make some dead, dry, come on, Christians that ain't got excited about God in a long time. I'm going to make some of them shout today by the time this message is over. Not that we have established what the, listen, I want to, let me go back up here. There were some more scriptures that I want to read. And we got to get it in. We got to get these in here. So let me go over here real quick and show you these scriptures. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous. Did you know that? God is a jealous God. He's jealous of you. He's envious of you. He doesn't want you on the fence. He doesn't want you to live lukewarm. He doesn't want you to have one foot in the world, one foot of God. Did you know the Bible says in the book of John that friendship with the world is enmity with God? The Bible says that. And the Lord, listen, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. On who? His adversaries. And he reserves, or he stores up, or he keeps preserved his wrath for his enemies. Somebody say, his wrath is reserved for his enemies. Come on, I want you to say it again. I want you to say, I want you to convince yourself today, because there's people out there teaching all, and they're all over End Time Headlines, even in the comment section. We'll get some here on Facebook. They want to teach you and convince you that the church is going to be the recipient of God's wrath, that the church is going to receive the wrath of God being poured out upon us. When the scripture, I could take this Nahum 1:2 right here, just this one scripture alone, and it completely refutes that. God, come on, say it again. God has reserved his wrath for his enemies. I want you to say this. I am not an enemy of God. Romans 1:18. Let's go back. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against who? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. All right? Now that we've established what the wrath of God is and its purpose, the question has to arise here. Will the church be here to suffer the wrath of God? I want to recap this, guys. Let me recap again. We saw God's wrath being poured out upon the earth during the time of Noah and the flood. We saw the wrath of God being poured out in Egypt through the 10 plagues of Egypt. Moses and the Israelites were spared. They were let out. God made a distinction between those who knew God and those who didn't know God. Then we have Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 19. Lot and his two daughters and his wife was the only ones he could get to convince to get out of the city, because the angel said, we can't do nothing until you're out of the city. Why? Because they were bringing and carrying out God's wrath upon the cities of the plains. Then I showed you that the next major wrath event will be in the tribulation and the latter 42 months. And that is where the vials, the bowls, all these things happen and take place. And God pours out his wrath upon the earth. So the question is, here it is. Will the church be the recipient of his wrath? Or does God make a distinction? Let's give you some more scriptures so we can break this down. Ready? This is Ephesians. Actually, let's back up. Let me go to Colossians first. Colossians 3. Look at this. Colossians 3, 1 and 6. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church. Here he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on those things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now he's talking to us. He's talking to the church, the ecclesia. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, what's he talking about? Your members upon the earth. He's talking about putting to death your sensual lust, putting to death those carnal habits, addictions, and strongholds. And he identifies it here. Put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at this, verse 6. Because of these things, what things? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Uh-oh. Now, we got a problem here. Because if we are to believe what a lot of people are propagating, and that is the church is going to be there with the ungodly when God pours out his wrath, I have a problem with that. And so does the Apostle Paul, according to what he wrote here in the book of Colossians, because he says here that the wrath of God is coming distinctively for the sons of disobedience. Well, guess what? If you're born again, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says you are a son and daughter of God, and you are led by the Holy Spirit, and you are no longer sons and daughters of disobedience, but now you're children of God. So we got a real problem with that theology. And listen to what he says here in verse 7, in which you yourselves once, past tense, walked when you lived in them. Past tense. Anybody that knows me before the year 2000 knows my past life. They know that I used to smoke weed. They know that I used to fornicate. They know that I used to have a mouth that was disgusting, and it was worse than a sailor, worse than a mechanic. They know that I lied. They know that I was a thief. They know that I was a very ungodly man. Excuse me. But hallelujah, on June 2nd of 2000, I was born again. So therefore, that past life is under the blood. The word says, as far as the east is from the west, he cast our sins away. He casts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. So Paul is saying here, the wrath of God is being preserved from heaven, and it will be poured out upon the children, because that cups sons and daughters, the children of disobedience. Now, you're doing yourself an injustice when you're telling people, bless God, I'm going through the tribulation and God's going to purge the blood of the church. You are identifying yourself, according to scripture, as a son or a daughter of disobedience. I am not a son of disobedience. I used to be, past tense, but it's under the blood. Come on, somebody needs to get excited with me. Let me show you some more scriptures. I'm not done. We got more. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. Listen what he says here. And you, he's talking to the church. That's us again, ecclesia. You, he made alive, who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once, past tense, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that's Satan, who now, present tense, works in who? Look at your screen. And I know you guys don't have this to listen by podcast, so I'm going to tell you what it says. The spirit who now, present tense, works in the sons of disobedience. Wow. Verse 3, among whom also we all once, plural past tense, conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And listen to this, we're by nature children of wrath. My goodness, guys, Paul identified, he just upped the ante again. He went from sons of disobedience, walking according to the course of the world, committing sin, committing disobedience, idolatry, fornication, adultery, sorcery, wickedness, everything that Paul addressed to the church in Rome when he addressed them in Romans chapter 1. And he says that the wrath of God is reserved from heaven and will be poured out upon those. He identifies the sons of disobedience whom the wrath of God is reserved for. And then, listen, he ups the ante and he says, we all were once walking according to this by the nature, and he called it the children of wrath. The children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4 of this is Ephesians 2 for you guys that are listening by podcast. Ephesians 2, we're in verse 4. But God, who's rich in mercy, praise God, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Stop. We got a problem here. In the ages to come, that's future tense, he's going to show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards who? Not the children of wrath, not the sons of disobedience, but towards us in Christ Jesus. Look at this again. I'm going to go back up here. Let's go back to Romans 2. Guys, we're teaching. I know this is a little bit different this morning, but watch this. Romans 2. Listen what it says. Because of the hardness of the hearts, the wrath of God is being stored up against the day of the wrath of God. Now listen what he says. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. See how these all coincide? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, that's us, guys, that's believers, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But watch this. But unto them, who are them? Sons of disobedience, children of wrath, to them that are contentious, and they don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Here's what's waiting for them: indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. Do you guys see that? There's a distinction, again, between those who know God and serve God and those who don't know God and those who oppose him. In case you ain't got this conclusion yet, God is not going to pour out his wrath upon the church with the ungodly. Every Old Testament parallel doesn't confirm with this. The scriptures don't confirm with this, but we've got more. I feel like a salesman. Wait, there's more. All right, and I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. 1 Thessalonians, again, the Apostle Paul wrote this. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go chapter 5 and chapter 1. He writes to the church of Thessalonica. Again, he's addressing the church, the ecclesia. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And by the way, every place in the scriptures, and I can show you this, I'm going to show you this in a minute out of the book of Luke chapter 21. Every place that the Lord instructs us to watch and be sober and pray, it is addressed to the church and not to the unbelievers. Why? Because verse 7, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9. Oh, you better underline this one like I did in your Bible. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Again, who is the us? The sons of light, the sons of the day, the sons of obedience, the sons of God, the children of obedience. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 10. If you would, you guys that are watching by podcast, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, listen to this, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Uh-oh, we got a problem here. If we believe what we're hearing propagated, that Jesus is coming at the end of the tribulation, we got a problem with what Paul just wrote to the first, to the church of Thessalonica, because he says here, he tells the church of Thessalonica, who, by the way, let me pull this off here, guys. I'm going to talk to you for just a second. He told the church of Thessalonica, he wrote to them because there was a rumor that had been circulating in the church that they had missed the rapture. Yes, I said it. The catching away, the gathering together. They had missed the coming of the Lord. They were freaking out. They were full of anxiety. They were full of fear, and they were full of worry. Why were they full of worry? Why were they anxious? And why were they fearful? Because they thought because of a rumor that circulated, because someone had forged a letter in Paul's name to the church of Thessalonica telling them that they had missed the rapture or the coming of the Lord, and that they were going to go through the wrath of God, what we would call, and John would later reveal to us, as the tribulation. So Paul had to come in and had to exhort them and comfort them and encourage them. And he goes through this whole letter and tells them, and he gives them step by step. He said, I've already told you that there's certain things that has to take place before the catching away, or before the gathering together, or before the rapture. And he tells them in there, the falling away has to happen. The spirit of lawlessness will get worse and worse. And then he tells them that the restrainer, which I believe is the ecclesia, is the church, will be removed. And then the man of sin will be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. But watch this. We got a real problem here. I'm going to go back. Let's pull up this scripture again. Paul says to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, he says, wait for his Son from heaven. Now, if we believe what a lot of people say, and it's the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation, okay? So they're going to wait for him all the way to the end of the tribulation. Then I have a problem with the latter part of the letter that Paul wrote when he said, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Those two contradict one another. If the Lord comes back before the tribulation or before the wrath of God, then that makes sense when he writes, who delivers us from the wrath to come. If he was not going to deliver us from the wrath to come, then it would make more sense for us to go through the tribulation and be a participant or recipient of the wrath of God. Does that make sense? Come on, guys, use your brain. Luke 21:29-36. And by the way, can I say this? Listen, I've always been a pre-tribulation rapture believer. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I can hang with a mid-trib. I really can. There's a lot I can do probably a 45-minute teaching on a lot of evidence that could back up a mid-trib rapture. But come on, God, this post-tribulation stuff makes no sense. I'm just going to be honest with you. Listen, if I'm going to get raptured at the end of the tribulation, I don't need it. Lord, thank you, Lord. I appreciate you coming to get me at the end of the tribulation. But if I've already survived the bowl judgments and the bowel judgments and wormwood and locusts coming out of the earth and boils breaking out and people dying of scorching heat and the plagues and the mark of the beast and the false prophet and the image of the, if I've done made it through all that, I don't need to be raptured. I'm good. Come on. Does anybody agree with me on that? If I've made it through all that, how do I need to be raptured? Hello? Makes no sense, guys. Listen, Luke 21, 29, and 36. I'm going to close with this. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. And by the way, this fig tree here is Israel. And all the trees, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Without, we did a whole teaching on this, guys. You can look in the archives on our podcast, on YouTube. It's all there. We did an entire teaching on what this means. But basically, to give you a quick cliff note of that, Israel is the fig tree. The budding of it is when you begin to see what the prophet spoke of that would have to be fulfilled regarding the nation of Israel, such as them becoming a nation in 1948 and then Jerusalem becoming a capital in 1967, and that they would bud again, that they would produce agriculture again, that they would blossom again, that they would live again. All these things are what he's talking about. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And what he's saying here is the generation that is on the earth that sees the restoration of Israel and all the things that directly coincide with the nation of Israel fulfilling prophecy, and earthquakes and pestilences and plagues and all these distress of nations and wars, they all happening simultaneously together. The generation that is alive that sees that will by no means pass away till all these things take place. It did not and was not fulfilled in 70 AD. That is ridiculous. And I'm not going to sit here and go on a rabbit trail and give you more details of why that is, because it would take us off course. Verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the church here, not ungodly, unbelievers, sinners, unregenerated, sons of disobedience, children of wrath. He's not talking about it. He's talking to us. He's talking to the church. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Who's it going to come as a snare to? The sons of disobedience, the children of wrath, those that are walking in darkness, those that are not in tune with God. They're not born again. They're not saved. They're not sons of God. They will be caught off guard. The coming of the Lord will be a snare to those across the face of the earth. But look at verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Friends, I've laid pieces of the puzzle on this table and I have put it all together and I have given you a picture today. And if even after all this, you still are convinced because of one scripture that the church is going to go through the wrath of God, there's nothing more I can prove to you. But I believe we have put together a beautiful tapestry and woven together this puzzle and put all the pieces together to prove to you and show to you that God is no different in times of old as he is today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if God in times of old made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, if he, come on somebody, if he told Noah, I'm going to separate you and I am going to spare you from the wrath of God. If he told the children of Israel, I'm going to make a distinction between those who serve me and those who don't. And it's going to be darkness in Egypt. It's going to be plagues in Egypt. It's going to be all that stuff happening in Egypt, but it's going to be light in Goshen. Your cows are going to live in Goshen. Your firstborn's going to live in Goshen. There's going to be light in Goshen. Goshen, there's going to be blessing in Goshen, but it's not going to be in Egypt because the wrath of God. If he made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, then if he made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous in the time of Genesis 19 and Sodom and Gomorrah, and he told the angels of God to tell Lot that he could do nothing until they got out of the city. Why? Because he was not going to pour out his wrath upon righteous Lot and his seed in the midst of ungodly and wicked men. Then it's safe to say, my friend, that he is not going to pour out his wrath on the church. He is going to remove the church. Revelation 4. He's going to take us out and away and remove us. And he even told us to pray that we be found worthy to escape all these things. Oh, I know we're going to get a lot of flack on this and it's going to be controversial, but I'm telling you, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. And I believe this is a great blessing. And I believe it's going to be a great exhorting message to those who are willing to receive this today. So I hope you've been blessed by this message today. Remember, don't forget to share this. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push notifications. And don't forget to download our free app. If you have not downloaded our free app, please go find it at the Apple Store, the Google Store, depending on what device you have. If you're listening by podcasts on Spotify or Apple or whatever, go to the store, the Apple Store, the Google Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official logo, download our free app, push yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast that you can both watch or listen from the app. Do not rely on social media for our messages and for our information. You got to get the app. If you wish to be a blessing to our ministry, if this message has blessed you, this ministry has blessed you, it exhorts you, edifies you, informs you on a weekly basis, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically, you can give through the app, which is the easiest way, down at the bottom, all the way to the right where it says donate. Go to the main website. You're going to electronically, you can do that. Or the second way is you can give by check or money order. And you could do that. I call it the old school method. You can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out today. I know we came on a little bit different time slot and a lot earlier than we normally do. But I pray that that would enable some, every now and then we'd like to come on a little bit later or a little bit earlier. That way it enables or allows other people that not normally can't do it, maybe because of jobs or whatever, work, different things that keeps them from coming on. Hopefully we get a different range of viewers and listeners at that time. And obviously this doesn't have any impact on the pre-recorded listening of this, but I'm talking about the live version of this. So we're going to sign off this weekend, guys. To close out this podcast, we wanted to do this very encouraging message. We got some more messages lined up. We've got some talking points, or what I call viewpoint segments, about current events. We're going to be dealing with all that next week. So I don't know if we'll have a full lineup like we did this week where we went 5 days straight. But nevertheless, we're going to get after it next week. We're looking forward to it. And I pray until then that the Lord blesses each and every one of you. I pray that his favor be upon you, his countenance shine upon you. May he protect you, keep you. May the blood of Jesus be applied over your family, over your life, over your health, over your finances, and over every part of your life until we see you again Monday in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.